The next matter is 03-1572, State of Ohio, ex rel. Gregory Howard versus the Industrial Commission of Ohio. It's a contempt hearing. Mr. Howard, you may proceed. You have 15 minutes, and you can divide your time as you wish. I will remind you, in view of the recent filings that you've made, that the purpose for your appearance here is to discuss with you how you intend to respond to the contempt order that the court that the court has made for a non-payment of about a little over $1,300 in attorney's fees and costs.
May it please the court. I commend you guys on such a great job of patient and listen to a lot of different cases and really putting a lot of time in it. I would like to also reserve 2 to 3 minutes to make acknowledgments, and would also request
there's a clock there, on the, so watch your time there on the
yes,
clock.
Yes, sir.
When the white light comes on, that means you have 2 minutes remaining. The red light means your time has expired.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. And I would ask the court to reserve their questions until after I read the application for mandamus that was submitted to the clerk's office today. Also, I just want to make a more or less like a disclaimer. I may not look at you when I read it. It's only 3 pages. And I don't think it would take all of the 14 minutes. First of all, it's an oral application for a writ of mandamus to be read by the appellant. And it starts out under a statement of facts. Appellant reincorporates all of his updated memorandum in response to the motion to initiate contempt proceedings as though the same were fully rewritten herein. Pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 2B1, B of the Ohio Constitution, appellant makes an oral application for leave that the court issue a writ of mandamus ordering the 10th District Court of Appeals to vacate its August 26, 2003 decision, denying its motion for leave to file an attached memorandum in opposition incidenter, and to issue an order in the appellant's favor pursuant to RC 2705.02A. Under the law and argument, in order for a writ of mandamus to issue, a relator must demonstrate that he or she has a clear legal right to the relief prayed for, that the respondents are under corresponding clear legal duty to perform the requested acts, and three, the relator has no plain and adequate remedy, legal remedy. That's under State ex rel. Berger. This court's decision 6, Ohio State 328. Mandamus is the appropriate remedy where no statutory right is provided to correct an abuse of discretion in administrative proceeding. That's State ex rel. Brino versus Industrial Commission 1973-34, Ohio State 2D 227. Because this court has determined that the appellant does not have a direct appeal from the Court of Appeals August 26, 2003 determination in the present case, a mandamus, the mandamus remedy, see Article 4, Section 2B1 of the Ohio Constitution. Article 4, Section 2B1B of the Ohio Constitution in material part provides B1. The Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction in the following. Under B, subsection B is mandamus. In the present case, pursuant to the 10th District Court of Appeals, Local Rule 6A, the appellant had a clear legal right to file a response within 10 days after service of the appellee's motion, and the Court of Appeals was under a corresponding clear legal duty to make a determination upon the appellee's motion whether or not a response was filed. Appellant asserts that there is substantial evidence of an inappropriateness was demonstrated by the appellant's articulation that the Court of Appeals decision of August 26, 2003 was inappropriate and was a clear abuse of discretion. I attached a copy of the docket entry for the case 97 AP 860, and I attached for the court's review. Accordingly, the appellant respectfully asked this court to issue a writ of mandamus reversing the Court of Appeals judgment, denying the right for leave to to file his responsive pleading incident pursuant to Article 4, Section 2B1B of the Ohio Constitution and other applicable legal provisions. I would also ask the court to excuse me from these legal proceedings because my answer to every question put to me will be as follows. My answer will be, appellant asserts the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution because of post facto, I cannot be a witness against myself as to a crime of failing to comply with either the court's order assessing legal fees against the appellant, this court's declaration of the appellant being a vexatious litigator under the court's rules in the September 2004, subsequently finding the appellant to be in contempt of court and ordering the appellant to appear in person without legal representation as its November 29, 2005 oral argument. See the Sixth Amendment of the United States Constitution. A crime is defined, and this is Black's Dictionary, is defined as a conduct that's prohibited and has a specific punishment prescribed by public law. Therefore, appellant pleads the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution in this action, and I also cite a case, C. NREL Oliver 333 U.S. 257-275. Basically, that's where my position is on this matter. Also, I asked for that 3-minute reserve for acknowledgments. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, my family, Mr. Burkowski that drove me down here, also Judge Lenzinger. I mean, in my prior case, I had her in my prior case, and my wife in her absence. Also, I would acknowledge my church family. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your efforts in listening to me, and I would ask that you take a serious look at the documents that are on file, and I would appreciate a response.
Mr. Howard, let me be sure that you have an opportunity to tell us why it is that you have not paid the $1,322, essentially, that the court has ordered you to pay as attorney's fees and costs. That's why you're here, and I want to make sure you understand that you're in contempt of two court orders. The court has the authority to enter sanctions, which can be incarceration. We don't like to do that. We've done it. We don't like to do it. And so I want to give you an opportunity. What you read to us doesn't speak to the reason that I'd rather have your suggestions that how you're going to comply with the two court orders that have assessed you the cost and attorney's fees.
Your Honor, if I could go back, I believe it was my responsive pleading to the initial contempt proceeding. There's a case, this court's case, Pugh versus Pugh. I don't remember the direct citation, but a person's inability to pay the cost relieves them of the responsibility of paying the cost. I did make a $1 attempt towards it, but I don't have the funds to, I'm actually indigent, and I mean, I got hurt at work, and I haven't been paid for that. I'm on Social Security disability benefits. I mean, it's pretty rather hard to pay, I think it's $1,300. Given the time, I believe I could pay it, but.
You may want to consider proposing to us and to the State Industrial Commission and the employer a schedule for how you would pay those costs. You don't have to do it standing there. You can, if you want to sit down and give it some thought, or we'll give you some time to do that. But we'd like to see you clear the slate on these costs and attorney's fees so that we don't have to order you back in. You know you've been declared a vexatious litigator, so you have a lot of cases that you file, a lot of motions and so forth, documents you file. But on this one, we've made a determination that that you owe these costs and attorney's fees, and so we need to somehow resolve how you are going to resolve that debt.
Couple minutes, please, and give me a chance to think.
Mr. Barnes, you're going to argue? Okay. Mr. Barnes.
May it please the court. My name is James Barnes, Assistant Attorney General representing the Industrial Commission in these proceedings. As the Chief Justice has mentioned, the only issue before the court today is Mr. Howard's failure to pay or to follow a court order requiring him to pay attorney's fees to both the Industrial Commission and Seaway Food Town. As the court has also mentioned, Mr. Howard has been deemed to be a vexatious litigator in a number of courts throughout the state, including this court. Mr. Howard has filed 90 separate causes of actions throughout the state of Ohio. He's filed in a number of courts, including the United States Supreme Court, of course, this court, the 10th Appellate District Court of Appeals, the Court of Claims, the Franklin County Common Pleas Court, and the Lucas County Common
Counsel,
Pleas Court.
Counsel, do they all revolve around a workers' comp claim?
Yes.
And all around the same claim?
No, there are a number of claims, but a number of those causes of actions do overlap and are duplicative, but they are separate actions.
And so Mr. Howard has had an unsatisfactory outcome in terms of what he believes he's entitled to from is it the employer or from the commission? Is it a self-insured employer?
For both, he's filed against the employer, but also is challenging the Industrial Commission order.
Is the employer in the fund, or is it a?
I think the employer is self-insured. Yes, self-insured.
Does it make any difference that the employer doesn't exist anymore? Are there any food towns, Seaway Food Towns, in existence?
And I'm not sure, Your Honor, but if an employer goes away, then it becomes a responsibility of the Workers' Compensation Fund to pay any benefits to or on behalf of the claimant. Okay. And Mr. Howard has filed actions both at the Common Pleas Court level challenging a determination regarding his right to participate, and also mandamus actions, which go to the extent of disability.
Counselor, has Mr. Howard made any overtures or contacted you or anyone representing the state or Industrial Commission in this matter with regard to a settlement, a payment schedule, or any acquiescence to the debt in an attempt to resolve the debt before today?
No, Your Honor. And in fact, unfortunately, the Industrial Commission does not believe that Mr. Howard has any intent to pay on the court's orders. As he mentioned earlier, he did pay $1. And paying that $1 was really a mockery of the system, because he paid that $1 by way of a money order. He got a money order, and then it was mailed by certified mail delivery to our office. So it cost him more to get it to us than the amount he paid. And the filings themselves, his many filings throughout the state belie his inability to pay. Again, he's filed 90 separate causes of action. Those actions require filing fees. They're filing fees established by each of those courts. Our calculation based on the courts in which those causes of actions were filed is $39,000 plus.
There's no indigency filings here on his behalf? He's not alleging or filing an affidavit of indigency with any of his pleadings?
I don't know. But if he were to pay those costs, it would be $39,000.
But you don't know whether he's filing as an indigent. He's represented to us that his source of income is his disability, and he is indigent.
No, we do not. That is but one factor to look at, because you also have to look at the fact that Mr. Howard lives in Toledo. And each time he makes a filing here in Columbus, whether it's the Court of Claims, the Franklin County Common Pleas Court, or this court, or the 10th Appellate District Court of Appeals, he hand delivers those filings. So at a minimum, he's paying costs to make that travel from Toledo to Columbus. The voluminous documents, pages included in his filings, or an indication that he has to bear some cost for copying. He does have the funds to copy those documents, to travel, and he's also bearing the cost of paying court reporters. He's paid court reporters to attend industrial commission proceedings. And in fact, today, he's paying a court reporter to transcribe these proceedings. The amount he's going to pay the court reporter, even for these proceedings, will be at least equal to the amount he's owed to the Industrial Commission in attorney's fees.
Counsel, I've forgotten because we have seen a lot of his work over time. How did we end up getting here today? Did we initiate that and ask you all to participate, or did you initiate that?
We, on behalf of the Attorney General's office, on behalf of the commission, after not receiving payment, filed a motion to show cause why Mr. Howard should not be found in contempt for failure to follow
the court's
order.
And so is the Attorney General of the state of Ohio advocating that we put Mr. Howard in jail for failing to pay court costs in this litigation?
The Industrial Commission, whom we represent, is advocating to the court that some sanction other than attorney's fees has to be levied, because the ordering or the requirement for him to pay attorney's fees is obviously not working. Some further substantial sanction has to be issued for Mr. Howard to finally recognize that this is a serious issue.
Okay. I guess I'm asking, I mean, we got rid of debtors' prisons a long time ago. Are we going back to that through a contempt action?
No, I think what the Industrial Commission is asking this court to do is to simply place a date certain upon Mr. Howard to pay what this court has ordered by way of attorney's fees, and if not, then issue further sanctions as the court deems appropriate.
Being what? I mean, you're asking that jail is the ultimate sanction here, right?
If that's what's necessary.
That's why I ask you how we got here. Apparently, we got here because you folks decided we should be here, and he should be here at this point. Over how much?
Well, for the Industrial Commission, it's $384 for the co-defendant. It's $1,000 plus.
Did the co-defendant ask for this hearing?
No.
Okay. And for the Industrial Commission to recover $300 and some dollars, you're asking us to potentially send him to jail.
Well, speaking to the employer, from a cost-effective standpoint, it's really not cost-effective for that employer to travel down from Toledo to these proceedings,
Justice,
and that was a factor
Justice
in
Justice Resnick just suggested the employer doesn't even exist. Does it or doesn't it?
The employer was the employer was represented by counsel, even when the employer, I believe, was represented even before the Supreme Court initially.
Yeah, initially. How long ago was that?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
See, I'm aware that there aren't any food towns in Ohio.
And again, we're not here speaking on behalf of the employer. We think that the Industrial Commission's motion stands on its own. And it's not necessarily the $384, because the inquiry does not end there, because if the court does not prevent Mr. Howard from these continuous frivolous pleadings, then my client will continue to have to
but I think
we've
taken measures to do that, haven't we?
Yes, and they've not, respectfully, they've not worked, Your Honor. And I would agree that if it takes a determination.
It takes jail to stop this man from abusing a copy machine. The Industrial Commission thinks we should impose that.
Yes.
Wow. Be nice if the Industrial Commission had, I guess that's the Bureau, not the Industrial Commission. Never mind.
Isn't the issue that there's a court order? The court has put on an order, and it's a question of whether we are going to, whether our order means anything. So next case, maybe $2,000 in fees. Well, we decide, well, the person can't pay it or whatever. Let it go because somebody thinks that we ought to just let it go. That's the issue, isn't it? Is it not? It's not the amount. It's the question. The issue is that the court has put on an order. He's in contempt. He hasn't paid, like every other court, any other court can do. And it's a question of whether we are going to enforce our order and how we do that. We've had these before, and usually the threat of putting somebody in jail causes them to find the money. That's the issue.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Is there any way that you can determine where Mr. Howard is getting the money to pay the court reporter and do all these other things? Have you looked into that?
No, Your Honor. We have not.
What was his injury? What was his original injury?
I'm really not sure what his original injury was.
I know this goes back so long that I wouldn't be able to remember. Thank you.
But again, Your Honors, I remind you that the only issue before the court is Mr. Howard's failure to abide by this court's order. The Industrial Commission does not proudly bring Mr. Howard before this court, but it's not the Industrial Commission that's required to levy a penalty of sorts against Mr. Howard for his failure to abide by this court's order. The Industrial Commission is certainly not promoting putting someone in jail over $384, but again, the monetary amount is not at issue. The issue is that—
Well, but yes, you are, aren't you? I mean, what else are you suggesting?
The commission is suggesting that the court enforce its order to prevent Mr. Howard from his continued filings of frivolous lawsuits.
How?
I believe an order could read, Mr. Howard, you are ordered to pay these attorney's fees pursuant to our previous court orders by a date certain, or further sanctions up to including imprisonment will be ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Thank you.
Mr. Howard, you've saved almost 5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
What do you think about this now?
First of all,
spent a lot of money on paper and filing fees, and you could have had this paid off.
Yes, sir. First of all, I filed this case under affidavit of innocence, the 2003-1572 case. And as the justice also said, Bhutan is no longer in existence. I mean, in Ohio, they're no longer in existence.
Well, we have an attorney, Eastman & Smith, firm that has shown a record representing them, whoever they are. So, they've given us information as to what their costs and legal fees are. So there's an entity here that we've determined is owed two entities, Industrial Commission and Foodtown, whoever. I mean, it's not for us to decide who Foodtown's successor is. They've been represented here. So I think we need to get to the point of how are you going to pay the $1,300 and some dollars. That's the issue.
Okay. I did calculate some figures here. I mean, taking away my bill money and also take away my copy cost, quote unquote. And I came up with a calculation of paying the Industrial Commission the $384 within 30 days. And more or less make arrangements $50 per month towards Foodtown.
Okay. We'll take your word. We're not going to make a decision here, but I think I can say we'd like to take your word for that and not hold over you the threat of incarceration. It seems that that's not appropriate for this amount of money. We will make a decision, and you'll be advised of what that decision is. We appreciate the fact that you've apparently seen that this is a debt you have to pay, and you've offered to make payments. And we'll certainly take that into very careful consideration in deciding what to do with the contempt order. There's no question you have the ability to make those payments that you've offered to make.
As far as my calculation, Your Honor, I think that would be within reason to in order to do it.
All right. Does anyone have any questions?
Well, I just want to make sure that you're sincere and that you're going to do this, that you are going to make these payments.
Yes, Your Honor, I am.
Mm-hmm. What was your original disability? What was your injury?
I've had three, actually. I had one in 1985 where I injured my back and my neck on a forklift equipment. In 1993, I had an injury to my neck. I was lifting a case up underneath the slot, and as I rose up, I hit my head on the crossbeam, which is a rack that holds the product up on the racks. There was a 1982 injury that was due to lifting. I had surgery behind it. I had a hernia surgery on the right ingenial side. Most of those claims, like I said, has been an effortless fight. I mean, it's been a fight to the finish to get things resolved, and it's just crazy. Like I said, I received Social Security disability benefits. And they total like $1,500 a month. But I mean, after you take out your bills and you take out your cost of living and things of that nature, I mean, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in the money that you can actually propose. But I have, in all sincerity, I intend to follow as I said.
Well, nobody wants to see you back. You don't want to be back here. We don't want to see you back here.
No,
so,
sir.
But we'll have you come back if you don't make the payments. So, make the payments. Okay. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.